Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is called Finding Gainful Employment in a Down Economy. And the reason this is important is to remember that in today's marketplace, there are jobs out there. It's just that we need to change our idea about what a job is today and how we can create an income for ourselves. And this, I found this article that says jobless rate declines in 23 states, and it comes out of the Wall Street Journal. And it says unemployment rates were little changed in most states in September as a recovery in the labor market remained sluggish across the country. The Labor Department reported Friday that 23 states and Washington, D.C., experienced decreases in jobless rates, while the rate rose in 11 states and was unchanged in 16. States hardest hit by the housing bust, such as Florida and California, continue to struggle with double-digit unemployment rates. Nevada remained the state with the highest unemployment rate at 14.4%, more than a percentage point higher than the 13% recorded in second place Michigan. In all, 15 states had rates above the 9.6% national figure released earlier this month. North and South Dakota continue to have the lowest rates in the country at 3.7% and 4.4% respectively. Despite some improvement in jobless rates, 34 states reported a decrease in the number of people employed, possibly as fewer people hunted for jobs. 14 of the state declines are regulated by as statistically significant. Just New Mexico, New Hampshire, and Washington, D.C. posted statistically significant increases in employment from August, and concerns that the labor market stagnated over the summer, 21 states still have higher or equal unemployment rates this September compared to a year ago. Republicans pointed to the state unemployment figures as evidence that the stimulus package backed by the Obama administration has failed. The data show the number of people employed has dropped in 48 of 50 states since February 2009 when the stimulus was passed. Administration officials have argued that the decline in the number of jobs would have been worse in the absence of the stimulus. And this is important to understand, but remember, this is all based on small businesses creating jobs in today's marketplace. You can't count on that. And as I was stating, back in 1960, when Kennedy was president, he allowed 5% of all manufacturing jobs to go overseas. And from 1960 to 2009, there are now 95% of all manufacturing done overseas. Part of this is due to the fact that the unions control the labor market in those industries, and because the union labor controls those industries, guess what is happening? It is because they're saying because they feel they can hold the owner of these companies over a barrel and say our workers will not work and will not cross a picket line and we will call a strike, that what happens is the manufacturers have decided, instead of dealing with unions who are outpricing the job market, then why not go overseas where you have people who are willing and ready to work, and at the same time we can cut our expenses. But the problem is they're still selling these items as though they're American-made and at a higher price. So it is a conflict. The thing is that what you need to do is look at your skills that you have. What is it that you really love to do? And take all of the things that you really love to do and have a passion for, and figure out a way to build a business out of those, out of the passion, what it is that you really love to do. And remember, more and more people are becoming entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. And when you look back at the job market over the last 100 years, and this is a story that I've told before, when the Europeans first came to this country, what did they do? They brought with them their skills, and they were not coming over here looking for gainful employment. What they were doing is looking for a way to create an income for themselves. So what did they do? They took their wares, and they put them on push carts, and they went on street corners and sold them, and they made a living for themselves. They had a roof over their head. They had food on the table. The thing is that their children, which were the first generation born in this country, many of them had the opportunity for an education. It was also around the time, the 1930s and the 1940s, when you had World War II and we were coming out of the Depression. So at that time, Roosevelt created was able, because we were a growing country, and in our infancy, they could put money into creating jobs, and that's how they built Hoover Dam. That's how they built the road system. That's also how they were also building the railroad system. Well, today we are more of a mechanized and technological age. We've moved from the manufacturing more into the information age. So what we need to do is advance what we're doing and look towards the new technology and how you can incorporate that into where you are in the job market, and figure out how you can use those same skills in the job market, working from home. And we just talked about how the 1940s and the 1950s, that was the beginning of the growth period for corporations. So many of our parents went to work for the corporations. They started at the bottom. They worked their way up through management. They worked there 25 years. They were given a retirement party and a gold watch, and that was also the growth of Social Security. And many of them paid into Social Security, and they expected during their retirement to be able to have a monthly income come in that would be as equal to or as close to what they were used to making, and they would be able to live comfortably. And many of their children were the baby boomer generation. These were the children that were born between 1946 and 1964. And what happened was many of them went to work for the corporations, and at that time it was always assumed that you had an unwritten contract with a company to work with them for life. So what happened in the 1990s? That was when corporations started to merge. Jobs, they were duplicating jobs. So what they were doing was, because they had to cut the payrolls, what they did was they offered buyout packages. Many companies like IBM and ATM, especially IBM, many of those people knew what to do with computers. We were moving into the era of the Y2K. So many of them went into business for themselves. They were charging high fees. It also became the beginning of the dot-com era, when people were going and building websites because it was so new. People, and they were not getting the kind of traffic they get today on a website. It was inflated prices or that, so there became a dot-com bust. But since then, what has emerged is people understanding how to use the internet, how to use technology. And let's also back up, and the thing is that because the baby boomer generation had an unwritten contract for life, many of these people who were offered buyout packages, so they could take 6 months to a year to figure out exactly what it is they wanted to do. And that was also the beginning of the consulting business, the coaching business. And what is happening is that more and more people are having to learn how to use and utilize the skills they have so they can become more aware of how to begin to build a business for themselves. Because since 1990, with the baby boomer generation and Generation X and Generation Next, the tech generation, they no longer have a guaranteed job with the corporation. Many of them, your jobs with the corporation may not last, if you're lucky, at least 5 years. Well, that gives you a training round about management. But whereas the corporations used to train you on good communication skills, on leadership skills, on building strong relationships, then guess what? Now you have to figure out a way to learn how to do that on your own. And there's many ways to do that. And what I'm going to do now is also go back and discuss and tell you and show you examples of how the job market has changed. Because today, remember, today there are, even if you look back in the 1960s, the 1950s, there was no such thing as an astronaut and people going into space. That was the beginning of the growth of the space period. That was the beginning of the growth of an astronaut. And many of the astronauts were just people that flew planes in the military, whether it be in the Air Force or the Navy, and then also test pilots. And until they actually broke the sound barrier, then there was no such thing or no concept of going into space. But once the sound barrier was broken and it was proven that you could fly a plane really fast, then guess what? That opened the door for the government to look for ways to explore space. And in doing that was the outgrowth of the creation of a position called astronaut. So remember, it started out with the skills you have, the strength you have, the abilities you have, but it became something more, and it also became something where the arts and the sciences and mathematical. And remember, when Bill Gates was in college, he was a dropout. But remember, when he was in college, no one could tell him how to do what he's doing today, which is the creation of software and licensing of software that you use today. And I can tell you that I grew up with a disability, so I only used one hand to type. And when I was in high school, what did we have? We had a manual typewriter. And for someone who has only one hand, that's very difficult because you've got to spread your fingers out, and it became very difficult. Then we developed the electrical typewriter. The electrical typewriter made it easier because you didn't have to hit the keys as hard as you do on your manual typewriter. And then that led into, as the development of the software, into the computers. And with the advent of computers and the development of software, today you have a software program for people like me who have difficulty typing at a high speed, where all I have to do is open up the software, dictate into the software, and it does my typing for me, which makes things much faster, because when I've written a book, and for me to have typed it on a typewriter, I would still be working on it. This way, and I've written training programs, and by using Dragon Naturally Speaking and dictating into the software, and it's a speech-to-text program, then it does my typing for me. And I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm hitting the wrong key or whether I'm spelling right or I have to go back and use spell check, because it's built into the software. So this is just an example. Now, this was a digression, so let me get back to what we were talking about, gainful employment. And let's look at, say, a graphic designer. Today, they're also web designers, because you have to know how to create and put the encryption into what's the scientific way of putting the encryption into the software, because what you see on the screen is one thing, but the encryption in the back office is what allows you to see what you're seeing. So, and remember, that's a very detailed aspect of the website. So, and there's just a lot that goes into it. And what I also want to do is discuss a little bit about why we need to begin to recognize that we are moving into the information age. And a lot of what's happening is there's so much information out there that we have to filter through the information, and we have to decide what is important to us and what is not. And so that's where one of the things we need to do is think of things that you can do that can really help yourself. And a lot of what it is you have the colleges and the high schools, they're still telling their students, when you get out of school, go work for the corporation because you got a long-term job with them. That is not true, and they need to change that. But what we need to tell you is, remember, at being an entrepreneur is that you're in a different state of mind, and you need to be passionate about what it is that you are really looking to do. And you can start out with opening up a business for under $500 or whatever it is that your expenses are. Because what it is that you need to have an idea about what it is that you really want to do. Then you have to get out there and market yourself. And so you have to understand how to use social media today, because you need to build relationships. So what you also need to look at is that you need to think of it as a game of what you can buy with what you make. And you also have to look at having a mindset shift. And remember that you need to be in balance and enjoy the journey along the way. And you need to be in balance with your mindset and your vision of where you are now and where you want to be. So think of all of those things and think about how you can put all that together to really have what it is that you're really looking for. And here's something else to think about. What if you are someone, if you understand how to, if you can understand that people are buying what you pay, buying information, that because we are in the information age, then how can you take that information and package it so that you can sell what you have to offer? And you need to think of it as something where you are putting cash in your back pocket. This is what has made Apple number one today, because they have developed a lot of things like the iPhone and the iPad and iTunes, where you can take it with you and you got it and you have easy access to it. And if you're in a large city, then you can go into any place that's a hot spot and you can get on the internet, because we went from the big computers that had big rooms of their own into the personal computer, and now we have the laptop and even the netbook. And the netbook is really small. It's what you're seeing even with the Mac is you don't even have to have a hard drive in your computer today, because it's all going to be stored in air. That's what's giving us the iPad. That's what's giving us the iPhone. And all you have to do is download the application. You can even, and that's why many people in business today use BlackBerries, if not the iPhone, because you can get in there and you can keep the notes for yourself. You can keep your slideshows on there. Anything that you're going to use with your business can be kept and made portable today. So these are some of the things to consider about the job market and how you utilize the job market. Also, I'm going to discuss things about social media, because social media is the way that things are going, and that's if you're Facebook, for instance, they just made a movie called The Social Network. Well, Facebook, when Zuckerberg actually created it, it was all mathematical theory and to create this website, and its purpose was for college students to be able to keep in touch with each other around the world and connect with one another. It has now gotten to the point where business people are using Facebook and Twitter to let you know what it is that they're doing. And remember, there's many ways that you can get a job today. And at one time, I worked with, another company where I was paid to go do shows and get paid $10 an hour for as a clown or whatever was being done. So there are opportunities, but you need to think smaller and need to think of things that you can do that can really help you. Now, let's talk about how social media is used to help people build connections. First of all, what you need to do is that you can write a blog and on a lot of these social sites, they have discussion boards. Go and look at the discussion board. Then once you get on the discussion board, then let people know what it is that you're doing or what it is that you give them a tip, something that will lead them to who you are, to what it is, and encourage them to make comments on your site. And then you go and comment back. That's developing a relationship between the two of you. And that relationship is how you can go to them and you can say, hey, look, I got this really great thing that I think you need to take a look at. And guess what? Once you develop that connection with them, then they are going to be connected to you for life. And think about it. You have LinkedIn. If you're a professional, you go on to LinkedIn. And the purpose of LinkedIn is to connect people who are in business. The concept of it is business-to-business marketing. You develop strategic partnerships. It can be used for recruiting. It can be used to upload videos. And it allows you to build and grow relationships. You can build both inbound and outbound relationships. You can upload your resume, and you can position yourself and your presence by having a professional headline, by looking at as a career strategist, and your headline will tell your audience what your specialty is that you're using. And you need to make sure that you use keywords because you want engaging and you want to put an engaging photo and title that so that you're putting things in there that you do. What are the common denominators? For instance, if you've had various different jobs, you want people to know what you've done. But if you work in one field and then you've worked in a totally different field that may seem very dissimilar, but what was the common denominator of the job skills that you have? What was it that you did that allowed you to be able to work? And this is something that I have discussed before, that because you're working in one field and that job market has slowed down, there are other options to you in totally different fields because you need to look at what is the common denominator that allows you, what are the skills that you're using in one field that someone else can use in a totally different field. And all of that plays together to really help you get what it is that you really, really want in life. And that is the biggest place of what it is that you're trying to do with your career. You want people to recognize your skills and help you get what it is that you want. And remember, what we're doing is building a business, building a successful business, building a long-term business. So what can you do that can really benefit you in the long run? And remember, when you go on site and you comment on different blogs or different articles, then you are developing a relationship. And you want to use keywords and capitalize on the words that readers want to be drawn to. And you need to have and the thing is, on LinkedIn, accept every invitation because you can do business with them in the long term, or you may be able to utilize them to generate business in other ways. If you're looking to hire someone, one of the things you need to do is be able to give them tips that are valuable. And remember, you join different groups, and you make sure that in those groups that you at least read the discussions because you could always use it later on in a different aspect of what you're doing. There's so many ways that you can utilize and build a business today. And last year, I quoted and used the secrets of the hidden job market. And it's to change your thinking and get the jobs of your dream, because this is what's happening is it's giving you some ideas of some things that you can do that can really help you to get back in the job market in a way that can really build you a good job and a long-term job. And the thing is, remember, when you're making out your resume, there is a traditional way to do it, and there's a non-traditional way. And if you utilize the non-traditional way, then guess what? It will allow you to express and be different, because you need to stand out from someone else. And I want to remind you that you can go to my website, and that website is the number one, personalcareercoach.com, and you can sign up for group coaching and individual coaching, and also get coaching on how to overcome the limiting beliefs that you have or the negative thoughts that you have that are holding you back from reaching your goals in life. And once you do that, then once you believe that you can succeed and achieve your goals, then you can begin to see the possibility of having your own business or utilizing your skills in another field. And I will be back in about a minute. Okay, and now I would like to welcome you back, and what I want to also remind you is that when you get into the job market, you need to look at this as a reality check. Without a valuable work skills, you will probably only get hired for boring entry-level jobs that pay just over broke salaries because you don't know enough yet to qualify for anything else. And remember, you have to have skills that companies are really looking for. For instance, if you're at the undergraduate level, you can get a degree in social work. But until you actually learn how to apply those theories and put them into practice, and that's why many people in the social services field, they have a degree, but they don't have the actual work skills necessary to get into the job market. So that's why they are finding it much more difficult to transition from where they are in school to actually getting into the job market. And also, let's think of some other things. And remember, the laws of attraction, whatever you sow, you will reap. Without hesitation and regardless to whether it's in your best interest to have it. So if you believe that dream job is already yours, and if you believe you will never get any job at all, you're right. Okay, and so change your thinking and everything changes. Let's say that you want to be a field sales representative for Jones Manufacturing, the leader in your industry. You dream of being a sales manager someday. As you begin to do some research on the company, you learn it has just implemented a hiring freeze, which is scheduled to stay in effect for 6 months. A small newspaper item gives no reason for the hiring freeze, but indicates the company is going through some internal changes. It had never occurred to you that Jones Manufacturing could be in trouble. You had always thought it was a progressive, stable company with a solid future. Obviously, you were wrong. It's clear the company is going through a restructuring, and they want to know things, and they want to keep things hush-hush. Layoffs are next, possibly a sale. Your job hunting strategy shifts significantly as a result of this news. You'd love to work at Jones Manufacturing if they were hiring, but since they're not, applying there would be a waste of time. But you email your resume in to Human Resources anyway. It doesn't cost you anything, and you have nothing better to do. In a flash, it occurs to you that if Jones Manufacturing is shrinking, most every other company in the industry worth working for must be downsizing too. With a sigh, you remind yourself how it stinks to be job hunting in such a lousy economy. You don't want to consider what an industry meltdown would do to your career. You scour numerous job sites and find the postings for sales reps are either entry level or they want more experience than you have and are paying less than you'd settle for. It's a no-win. You're either too good or not good enough. After weeks of intense online searching, you find a few positions that interest you and pay fairly decently. With a prayer, you email your resume to the Human Resources Department, hoping the company's computers will pick up your keywords so that you make it past the first screening. Now that your search is in full swing, you join a local job hunting support group because you never know who knows somebody. You see the same people there week after week, which somehow doesn't make you feel any better, but at least it gets you out of the house. After months of fruitless job hunting, it's obvious you are going nowhere. Clearly, no decent company is hiring field reps because you keep running into roadblocks. Most of the time, you get rejection letters or emails or no response at all. No one returns your calls, and your few attempts at interviewing has been dismal failures. You used to be terrific at selling yourself. Have you lost your touch? Finally, you get a thanks, but no thanks email for Jones Manufacturing's HR department. Well, given everything that's going on with the company and the industry, you weren't surprised. Your family is pressuring you to forget corporate selling and get any kind of job, and you're finally beginning to agree, and maybe they're right. Out of sheer frustration and in order to pay the bills, you hang up your suit and take a job selling shoes at the mall until something better comes along. In this example, the law of attraction has demonstrated that you believe job hunting is hard, nothing you do works anymore. Your best isn't good enough, and getting a decent corporate sales job is virtually impossible. Now, let's make one very slight change in your thinking, which will result in an entirely different series of events. Instead of making assumptions that implications of hiring freeze at Jones Manufacturing, you simply take the news at face value. The small newspaper item gives no reason for the hiring freeze, but indicates the company is going through some internal changes. This would seem to be bad news, but since you really don't know what's going on inside the company, you don't jump to any conclusions. When you go online to do some research, you learn Jones Manufacturing's new CEO is a turnaround maven who embraces technological innovation. In a story written shortly after his arrival last year, the CEO states that he plans to inject new life into this successful but weary company whose sales and stock prices have gone flat. It seems the CEO has already begun to make some changes where it counts, and your job hunting strategy shifts significantly as a result of this news. Even though you've never spoken to him before, you call Jones Manufacturing sales director and tell him you heard about the hiring freeze and that you know companies sometimes put hiring on hold during internal changes. You ask him if the company is upgrading its technology, especially with the new CEO at the helm. The sales director is impressed you've done your homework and confirms the hiring freeze is due to a six-month-long technological overhaul of the plant, a move 5 years ahead of its time. You talk with the sales director about the CEO's forward-thinking strategy of retooling the plant in advance of customer demand, ensuring the company's future success. You ask the sales director if he would give a presentation about this at the local trade group you belong to. You'll call the program chair to make the arrangements. The sales director is flattered and agrees and invites you to take a tour of the plant. During the tour, it's clear the sales has taken a back seat to operations and the current sales staff will be overwhelmed once the plant is retooled. The sales director says the chief financial officer imposed the hiring freeze over his strong objections and his field staff is already swamped. His biggest concern is losing old customers in the rush to gain new ones. At the end of the tour, you suggest working as a consultant to help coordinate the transition from old customers to new customers as the new technology is introduced, and the sales director asks you to prepare a proposal. With you on board as a consultant, the sales director can pay you out of his own budget and doesn't have to go through the CFO, an idea he likes very much. After several months working as a consultant for Jones Manufacturing, the sales director hires you as sales coordination manufacturing manager, a new position just created for you. You report directly to the sales director. You make the CEO release the money from the corporate budget so you can be hired. Do you understand and see how this story helps you understand how just a slight change in your thinking has helped you get a job? So remember, companies may very well need your assistance, but they're not looking to put you on staff. So how can you look for an alternative to work with the company that you really want to work with and create an opportunity for yourself? And here's another story that I can tell you from a neighbor. And what is happening, companies, to cut their expenses and their overhead, they're not getting bigger and bigger space in an office, in a building anymore. What they're doing is they're buying the computers and they're installing software on it that allows them to hire people to work from home. And all you have to do is have the phone and the internet service. And then what happens is whenever a call comes into the office, the computer transfers it into your home line and your computer. And then through the phone, you're working with these clients. And it's generating an income for you, only your place of business is from the home. And you're contracting with the company. Another story is someone that I know, that when I lived in an apartment, I met someone who moved in. They were just moving to Atlanta because his wife's company transferred her. So she had to work in an office. But because he did information technology, he did not even have to quit his job. All he had to do was work from home using a computer and the internet, and he was able to continue working for the company, although he was not physically located in that city. So remember, you can be working and living in one city and working with someone else in another city. So that's another example of just how the job market has changed. And it's just a matter of understanding how you can change your thought processes of what a job is and how you can incorporate all of this into where you are today and where you want to be and how you can generate an income for yourself. Every implication that you are unable to get the job of your dreams all by yourself is totally, completely, and absolutely wrong. And remember that. Let's take a clear-headed, rational look at their claims through the lens of common sense sound business judgment, and an understanding of basic human psychology. Whether you want to face it or not, this is not a contest. You might be the best candidate, you might be the most qualified, but if you don't make your resume stand out from the rest, if you don't make the right first impression, you'll never land your interview. And if you never land that interview, then the job of your dreams is just a dream. The premise for this argument is if you don't have a superior resume, one that is written by them, you won't get the interview that will get you hired. If you accept this line of thinking, you may also believe you're competing with multitudes of other similarly qualified people for the same job. There is a lone individual in human resources who shuffles the stack of resumes like a deck of cards and who has the sole ability and the authority to deal you in and out. And the only thing that differentiates you from everyone else is that that is how your resume is written. None of these statements are really true, but if you believe them, they will be true for you, and you will experience them through the law of attraction. Your resume is one of the most important documents of your life. Your resume is important when you're job hunting, but it's not nearly as important as your cover letter. While an effective cover letter can open doors, even without a resume, your resume on its own won't get you an interview and it won't get you hired. It is also a real stretch to call a resume one of the most important documents of your life because you may have many resumes over your career and perhaps different resumes for different companies in the same industry at the same time. In fact, a resume doesn't even rate next to genuinely important documents like your birth certificate, diploma, passport, mortgage, driver's license, marriage license, bank statements, credit reports, school records, military discharge papers, etc. Your resume is your calling card, your best chance to make a first impression. Since no one in the 21st century uses a real calling card, it's possible the writers of this site have confused a resume with a relic of the 19th century etiquette. Before there were telephones, emails, and instant messages, people called or visited each other if they wanted to chat, leaving calling cards if no one was home. So calling cards and resumes have absolutely no connection with each other. Without an exceptional resume, you won't stand a chance of standing out from the crowd and landing those interviews you need. This goes back to job hunting as contest scenario in which your resume must fight to be noticed amidst a sea of equally outstanding resumes. It also implies your resume alone will or won't get you an interview, another false belief. Our job is to get you interviews. Our job is to sell your skills and your job and your experience in the most professional and convincing way. This statement might be true only if the resume company was paid if and when you landed a face-to-face interview as a distinct result of their work. Since they do not work on contingency and do not arrange interviews for job seekers, their claim is patently false. And remember that. What is happening is when you want to revamp your resume, you do not want to think in traditional methods. You want to think in non-traditional methods. And that means that instead of saying, this is the job I held with this company and this was what I performed, why not look at it as what kind of problem did the company have and how did I help them solve that problem? And that is more important to a company that is looking to hire people. Think about the story that I just told about how someone read an article that said the company that they were working for was not hiring, or that they wanted to work for was not hiring. But instead, he talked to the sales manager. He toured the company, and he recognized that there was a need, and he discussed it with the sales director on how he could work with them on a consulting basis, which allowed him to generate an income and at the same time build his skills and his reputation with the company so that later on they created a position for him. So these are some of the techniques that you need to think about when you're looking for a job in the job market today. And remember, there are jobs out there. You just need to think differently when you are looking for a job. And think of some of the things that you can do that can really help you get to what it is that you really want to do and how you can create an opportunity for yourself. And think about some of the things that you can do that can really help you expand on what it is that you really want to be doing. Because the job market today has changed, and which has allowed people to work in a different way, to utilize the skills that they have, and to do what they really love to do. Remember, some people need to work in a company where they're structured and they're told what to do. Some people work well on their own. And you also need to build on your communication skills, because when you come out of college, you have not really learned how to communicate. You're not really learned how to build strong relationships, because when you have built these strong relationships, then guess what? You're going to be putting yourself in a position to really expand on and build your business in today's marketplace. And the common denominator here is that you need to think about the things that you can do that can really change your idea about a job. And remember, what works for your parents are not going to work for you, because technology is influencing the job market. And remember, in school today, what is happening is the kids, they use laptops and they learn how to use multimedia, because multimedia is going to be a way of promoting yourself. And you can go on all of these websites that allow you to put up your resume for a job, but because they have thousands and thousands of people who are doing the same thing, that's not what's going to get the job. It's how are you going to stand out on something that you've done differently. Because remember, when that personnel manager interviews you, when they hire you, they're looking for someone that's going to make them look good. And if you make them look good, then guess what? Then they are going to, then if you have any suggestions on some things that you want to do that can really help them, then they're going to begin to take notice, and they're going to ask for your opinion. So what are some of the things that you can do that can really help you to put yourself in a position to be getting what it is that you really want and get the salary that you really want? And remember, it may not be working with one company. It may be working with 3, 4, and even 5 different companies. And maybe putting in 10 hours. You work with 4 companies, and you work 10 hours for each company, and you charge them, say, $15 or $20 an hour, and that's $200 with each company. If you're going to charge them $20, that is, and you work 10, that's $200. You work with 5 companies doing that, guess what? You just made yourself $1,000 a week. So what are some of the things that you can do that can also generate the income that you really want? these are some of the things that you need to consider as well when you are looking at getting a job, because you may not find something that's going to do you what you really want. Now, the best advice that I can give you if you want to get hired is to stop reading traditional system books, articles, and websites, or going to traditional system classes and seminars on job hunting and resume writing. You've been there. You've done that enough already. And, of course, don't read the want ads unless you are happily employed and want to see what's out there. Learn what companies are in trouble or need a good laugh. Want ads in every form should be avoided if you have even the slightest hint of discontent on your job or are planning to get hired within the next 6 months. Consider them poison. Forget about using the web for finding employment. Use it to find knowledge instead. Web surf effectively by going to sites that will teach you about your industry or the industry you want to be in and the companies and people who are now in it. After all, you'll probably end up working with some of them. Most importantly, there are thousands of websites, books, and courses on how to use the incredible power of the universe that is already within you to get the job of your dreams, improve your health, turn around your financial situation, have loving, rewarding relationships, and bring you your heaven on earth. For when you change your thinking, you change your life. I suggest that you also read books and websites that will teach you the basics of professional business-to-business selling, which you now know has nothing to do with the traditional system form of pitching and handling. Even if you are not going into selling for a living, you still sell all the time. When you persuade someone to change their mind about something or to agree with you, you have made a sale, because they have moved themselves from neutral to no to yes. In particular, you might want to get some of the books on selling recommended below. In the late 1970s, when women first moved into the corporate world, to everyone's astonishment, they consistently outsold men. It shouldn't have been a surprise. Women instinctively teach and persuade, which tends to attract people, and men tend to pitch and hustle, which tends to alienate people. It would do many men a world of good to learn how to sell like a woman, especially if they want to get hired. Others have been reprinted and updated, and new ones are published all the time. The books and websites I recommend are listed first, but they're all good. And remember, what you need to do is look for alternative methods of employment and think of some of the things that you can do that can really benefit you in gainful employment. If you are looking for a new career or you are looking how to transition and manage your lost career, then guess what? I have a home study program that you can utilize and help you build the skills that you need. And you can go to my website, and that website is onepersonalcareercoach.com, and we will discuss things that can help you to change your career, and we can work with you on building a strategy towards changing your career and being successful at what it is that you really want to do.